Christ with his disciples is seated upon the Mount of Olives. The sun has set behind the western mountains, and the heavens are curtained with the shades of evening. In full view is a dwelling house, lighted up brilliantly, and an expectant company wait around, indicating that a marriage procession is soon to appear. Lingering near the bride's house are 10 young women robed in white. Each carries a lighted lamp and a small flagon of oil. All are anxiously watching for the appearance of the bridegroom, but there is a delay. Hour after hour, the watchers become weary and fall asleep. At midnight, the cry is heard, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh." The 10 maidens seize their lamps and begin to trim them, but 5 have neglected to fill their flasks with oil. In distress, they appeal to their wiser companions, "You give us of your oil." But they have no oil to spare, and they answer, "You go out to them that sell oil, and you buy some for yourselves." While they went to buy, the procession moved on and left them behind. The 5 with lighted lamps joined the throng and entered the house with the bridal train, and the door was shut. As Christ sat looking upon the party that waited for the bridegroom, he told his disciples the story of the 10 virgins, illustrating the experience of the church just before his second coming. When the foolish virgins reached the banqueting hall, they received an unexpected denial. They were left standing outside in the empty street in the blackness of the night. But before we continue with this interesting information, let us look for a few moments at an affirmation of faith, this time facing the problems of life. 2 statements from the writings, 3 statements from the Holy Scriptures. Job, that enigmatic, fascinating, historic, informative book in the Old Testament, chapter 5, verse 19, with a combination of the New King James Version and the standard King James Version. "The Lord will deliver thee in 6 troubles, yea, in 7, no evil will touch you." From the writings, God can solve the most difficult problems for those who believe in him. Back to the scriptures, this time in the New Testament, and translating with a positive outlook, philosophy. Hebrews chapter 4, 15. "For we have a high priest who can sympathize with our weaknesses and who was in all points tempted like as we are." Back to the writings. "We need never feel that we are alone. Angels are our companions. The comfort of the Holy Spirit abides with us. And if in our ignorance we make missteps, the Savior does not forsake us. In the way to the holy city, there is no difficulty that those who trust in him may not overcome. There is not a sorrow, not a grievance, not a human weakness for which he has not provided a remedy. Whatever difficulties we labor under that weigh down soul and body, he wants to set us free. Not only does Jesus know every soul and the individual needs and trials of that soul, but he knows all the circumstances that chafe and perplex the spirit. He desires us to lay our perplexities and our troubles at his feet and leave them there." Back to the scriptures, Hebrews 4:16. "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and grace to help us in our time of need." And remembering the information contained in the affirmation of faith, let us now go on with the story of the close of probation, not back there in ancient times, but for us in our last days, the sunset years of planet Earth. I'm reading from the book Great Controversy, 613, which is being widely distributed by the million throughout various areas of planet Earth in many different languages. Great Controversy, page 613, And I think that Seventh-day Adventist Christians ought to just about memorize the sequence of events in the latter pages of this book as they are presented. When the third angel's message closes, mercy no longer pleads for the guilty inhabitants of planet Earth. The people of God have accomplished their work. They have received the latter rain, and they are prepared for the trying hour before them. Angels are hastening to and fro in heaven. An angel returning from the earth announces that his work is done. The final test has been brought upon the world, and all who have proved themselves loyal to the divine commands have received the seal of the living God. Then Jesus ceases his intercession in the sanctuary above. He lifts his hands and with a loud voice he declares, "It is done." Every case has been decided for life or death. Christ has made the atonement for his people and blotted out their sins. Can I change that? And blotted out our sins. The number of his subjects is made up. When he leaves the sanctuary, darkness covers the inhabitants of the earth. Three segments of information thus far. The wedding on the hillside, an affirmation of faith facing the problems of life, and the close of probation in the last days. Our topic for today specifically, the wedding on the hillside and or the close of probation in the last days. So to begin with, let's go back to the scripture reading that was read a little while ago, and we'll look at this in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 25, verses 1 through 13. Let's get the sequence of this information in our minds so that we understand what Jesus is presenting. Matthew 25, which, as you will know, follows chapter 24, which is the signs of the times in our world for this day. Chapter 25, a series of parables. And as you know, and as I know, when Jesus presents parables, he is telling a sermon illustration. But not only are these parables sermon illustrations, you will find that, generally speaking, almost completely, every one of these parables is an event that has occurred, that has taken place in recent time back there in Bible occasions. And this is the same thing here. For when Jesus was speaking at the top of the Mount of Olives there was a stone hut on the downward slope from that locality. And so he was observing what was taking place, and he wove this into his presentation of information. "Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened," he said. All right, a wedding is coming. There are bridesmaids there, 5 wise, 5 foolish. Verse 4, the wise took extra oil. Verse 5, they all slumbered and slept because things just tarried for a longer period of time. Verse 6, at midnight, behold the cry, the bridegroom comes, go ye out to meet him. So the virgins took their lamps, these little clay pots with oil in them, and with a wick floating on the surface of the oil, and they trimmed the wick to make sure that the light was coming out satisfactorily. But 5 found that, as you know, they had insufficient oil. No flagon of extra oil. They said to their friends, their 5 friends, "Can you share your oil with us?" They said, "We've only got enough for ourselves. Sorry, you go back downtown, go and see if you can wake up some oil dealer and get some for yourselves." And so they went out. While they were out, the bridegroom came. They went into the hut there, and the bride herself came out from her home, and then they went on into the city downtown and there for the marriage festival. The foolish girls did finally get some extra oil. They came on, and then they went to the location downtown, and the five that went with the procession, they went into the marriage, the door was shut. Afterwards, the 5 extra came and said, "Lord, open to us," verse 12. But he answered and said, "Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore," said Jesus, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. We know the era. We're living in that era when all things are coming to a summation. That's the story. Three locations: the groom's house in suburban Jerusalem, procession from there to the slope on the Mount of Olives, to the stone hut there where the girl lived, and then they all gathered and joined in the procession, at least those who were going in that situation. They went back to the city of Jerusalem across the valley of the Kedron to the banquet house in that particular location. That's what took place then. That is a parable. It's a true event that occurred based on fact. But what about the parallel for the last days? Christ Subject Lessons 410. In the parable, all 10 virgins went out to meet the bridegroom. All had lamps and vessels for oil. And for a time there was seen no difference between them. So with the church that lives just before Christ's second coming. 50% were not ready. Does that statistic apply to us here? Can we go around and say 50% are not going to make it? I would hope that is not true of the congregation here in Shelbyville. So with the church that lives just before Christ's second coming. This class, represented by the foolish virgins, they are not hypocrites. They have a regard for the truth. They have advocated Bible truth. They are attracted to those who believe the truth. This class, represented by the foolish virgins, have been content with a superficial work. That places a new light in the situation. What about our knowledge, our experience in the things of faith? Are we satisfied with the superficial work? Come and say yea and nay when the things are right that way? Or are we aware of what we believe and why we believe? Do you believe the things of truth because it has been taught to you by the pastor, by the Sabbath school teacher, by your parents, by your fellow believers? Excellent though that may be. Or do you believe truth, Bible truth, because you know what the scriptures say about these things? It is imperative to know these things in this our day. I read on. The great final test comes at the close of probation. And so the story of the 10 bridesmaids is the story of those in our last days and the fact that the final test comes at the close of probation. The answer is given in a lot of these things, and Christ Object Lesson continues on. God calls for our cheerful countenance, our hopeful words, our kindly hand clasp. Now, what about the close of probation in the last days? This is the second topic in this presentation, the previous one a month ago. Let's go back, way back, and if we had a roving microphone, I would go right back across the platform there to that side, to the era back at the beginning of our world's history, the story of Adam and Eve. The Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you may not eat of it. Probation would be granted to Adam, in which through a life of repentance and faith in the atonement by the Son of God, he might be redeemed from his transgression of the Father's law. You know what happened? Eve was separate, went to the tree of life, tree of death, ate, gave to her husband. He willingly accepted, though in sadness, and they were both found in transgression. The Ten Commandments say, thou shalt not steal. Taking something that is not given to you, not yours, is stealing. And there are other applications also to the commandment that says, thou shalt not steal. Jesus had to cover the same ground that was lost by Adam and Eve. Hebrews 4:15, he was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. For a period of time, Christ was on probation. Do you get that concept? the creator of the universe, the active redeemer, becoming the active creator, becoming the active redeemer, when he was upon planet Earth, he also was on probation. Probation would be granted to Adam, yes, through a life of repentance, where for Jesus, he was for a period of time on probation. He took humanity upon himself to stand the test and trial which the first Adam had failed to endure. If Jesus had failed in this, his test and trial, he would have been disobedient to the voice of God and the world would have been lost. That presents a different picture, doesn't it? The Gospel of John, chapter 17, verse 4. The prayer of Jesus when he was walking down towards the Garden of Gethsemane. He said, I have finished the work. He is praying to the Father. He said, I have finished the work which you gave me to do. And so he went into the Garden of Gethsemane, where he was separated from his Father's blessings until he expired upon the cross. Now, Adam and Eve failed. Jesus was successful, and he donated this gift to us as human beings. Testimonies to Ministers 134. Christ gave his life that man should have another trial. The human race had another opportunity. He did not die on the cross to abolish the law of God. That was the topic in the Sabbath school lesson, wasn't it? He did not die on the cross to abolish the law of God, but to secure for man a second probation. Probation is granted to all, that all may form characters for eternal life. It's not a hit and miss story. It's not just a Sabbath morning event in church. It's a lifestyle in a different direction. There is no after probation. Christ desires his hearers to understand that it is impossible for men to secure salvation of the soul after death. Some believe that this can be achieved. There are two denominations, at least, that tell us that after death, salvation can be achieved. Baptism for the dead, which is not biblical, and the story of people living in another place that can be transferred by good deeds by human beings that are living today. False information that is not contained in Scripture. Now is probationary time. There is not another probation for anyone. Now, when does probation close? Well, we had some stories and information about the 10 plagues, the 10 plagues of ancient Egypt, the 10 plagues of the last days. And you might remember that in the 10 plagues of Egypt, there were the three first plagues, then a difference between God's people and the Egyptians back 2,000, 2,500, 3,000 years ago, and then the seven last plagues of the last ancient Egypt. Likewise, in our era this time, there are the first three plagues of the last days, the close of probation, and then the seven last plagues of the last days. Daniel 11, 45, and verse 1 in the next chapter. He shall plant the tabernacles of his palace between the seas and the glorious holy mountain. What does that mean? Seems to indicate to me that the Vatican will transfer its authority and replant itself in the city of Jerusalem. If that is the case, regardless of what is the translation, the understanding of this information, the next verse in the following chapter of the Bible says, and at that time, whatever is that event, whatever takes place at that time, Michael will stand up, the great prince which stands for the children of thy people. That is the time when probation closes. Revelation 22, verse 11. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. He which is filthy, let him be filthy still. He that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. We might say, if your sins are forgiven, they're gone. If they're not, they remain. Now, the actual time is unstated about the close of probation. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10. The day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. Silently, unnoticed, is the midnight thief. will, and this will silently, unnoticed as the midnight thief, will come the decisive hour that marks the fixing of every man's destiny, the final withdrawal of mercy's offer to guilty men. God has not revealed to us the time when probation will have an end, but when probation ends, it will come suddenly, unexpectedly, at a time when we are least expecting it. So, okay, no problem. If we know it's going to happen when we least expect it, let's look into the future and think of the era, the time when we least expect it, and it will happen then. Well, a good guess, but it won't happen like that either, we are told in the writings this way. Come when it may, the day of God will come unawares to the ungodly. No wonder your church leadership is suggesting you study last day events from the books that are available. It's a good idea to know what is taking place. So when the irrevocable decision has been pronounced and the destiny of the world has been forever fixed, the inhabitants of the world will know it not. Now we do know it's after the Sunday laws are enacted. The image of the beast will be formed before probation closes. The living righteous will receive the seal of God before the close of probation. Probation is ended a short time before the appearing of the Lord in the clouds of heaven. It's after the latter rain. Servants of God will hasten from place to place to proclaim the message from heaven by thousands of voices all over the earth, including in this mighty country also, the warning will be given. Jesus will not leave the most holy place until every case is decided, either for salvation or for destruction. We pause a moment. Can you think about that? Jesus will not leave his intercession in heaven above until every case has been decided. Every human being upon planet Earth will have to make a decision, either for eternity, for salvation, or against the ways of salvation. God will wait for the cavalcade from eternity to come to planet Earth in the second coming until everybody has made that final decision. I wonder who will be the last person who will accept or turn aside. But that last one person is actually, in effect, holding up the cavalcade for the second coming. Serious is the thought upon this matter, and revelatory is the love of God towards erring human beings. Now there will be a famine in the last days. Amos chapter 8, verse 11. I think we ought to turn that verse up in the scripture rather than just having me quote it. Daniel, Hosea, Joel, Amos. Okay, we're looking at Amos chapter 8 and verse 11. This is what it says here in verse 11. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land, not like we've got in California at the present time, and poor fruit is being exported from California to Indiana. Go buy it and you find that it is not as good as it has been before. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, not a famine of food, not a famine of water, thirsty, but of hearing the words of the Lord. And so many people say that this famine that is coming is a famine for the word of God. But that's not what this verse says, as I have said before. It's a famine for the hearing of the words of the Lord. Because when the close of probation has taken place, the Holy Spirit is no longer available to sinners. And the Bible is no more than an empty historic record of events in ancient times. No more salvation from its pages. No story of the mercy of God and the love of God towards human beings. Let us remember, it's a famine for the hearing of the words of God. Verse 12 says, and they will wander from sea to sea, from the north to the east, to the papacy, to God's people. They will run to and fro to seek the word of the Lord and will not find it. It's not available anymore that way. Without the Spirit of God, Christ's Object Lessons 4:11, his word is of no avail. And they will wander from sea to sea, from the north to the east. The wicked have passed the boundary of their probation. There is a warning. The time is coming when it will be too late to seek God. Jeremiah 8:20 tells us, the harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved. That will be the cry of people who have neglected the ways of the Lord and to find out what is stated. Last Day Events, page 235, good book for us to look at. The ministers of God will have done their last work, offered their last prayers, shed their last bitter tear for a rebellious church and an ungodly people. Is that the way we look upon the church of God? Is that the way we judge in these circumstances? The ministers of God will have done their last work, offered their last prayers, shed their last bitter tear for a rebellious church and for an ungodly people. No wonder I invite our people to cooperate with pastoral leadership, with church leadership, and to be courteous and considerate to those who are serving in ministry, and to take care of the pastoral wife also, because of the circumstances and the needs in which they live and the work that they are attempting to accomplish. The ministers of God will have done their last work, offered their last prayers, shed their last bitter tear for a rebellious church and an ungodly people. What is the preparation? Those who do not now appreciate, study, and dearly prize the word of God spoken by his servants will have cause to mourn bitterly hereafter. Like I said, I say in all the churches, listen to what your pastor tells you. Make his life easy. I'm not saying you're not. This is what the message I give to all of the churches. And love and appreciate your pastor's wife also. I read in Last Day Events 2:37, all will be tested and tried according to the light that they have had. Those who turn from the truth to fables can look for no second probation. Those who delay a preparation for the day of God cannot obtain it in the time of trouble, nor at any subsequent occasion. The case of all such is hopeless. So in summary, well, we had the 10 plagues of ancient Egypt. First, the three first plagues, a difference, seven last plagues of ancient Egypt. We had the three first plagues of the last days, close of probation, so seven last plagues of the last days. We have other topics that are coming on the way. Update on Armageddon, truth about the Sunday laws, and other topics that fit in with last day events. But I close with final statement. Great Controversy 6:34. Glorious will be the deliverance of those who have patiently waited for his coming, and whose names are written in the book of life. I've said it before, I read again. Glorious will be the deliverance of those who have patiently waited for his coming, and whose names are written in the book of life. You will note that the hymn that we sang at the beginning of our service, number 152, was Tell Me the Story of Jesus, the ways of salvation, the love of God, his mercy extended to human beings. The fact that we, in the last days, are described as being a rebellious church, and we are described as an ungodly people. We need to get our heads into the book and our hearts into the experience. That was our first hymn, 152, Tell Me the Story of Jesus. Now we want to sing number 511 as the conclusion in our worship service today, I Know Whom I Have Believed. Quoting from the Bible and giving us an exhortation regarding our own experience. I know whom I have believed.